It was the noise that started it all those many years ago, a muted chick-chick flutter with a faint metallic undertang. I caught it just as I opened the door to Vinnie Frederick's Dance Academy to let two of our daughters in for class. A dual-wheel panel truck was making a soft 90-degree turn through the stoplight, and its wide tires caught something in the street. With my immediate focus on navigating through the swarm of parents, kids, and instructors at Leotard Central, I filed the sound away. After class, we were rounding the corner back to the parking lot when a string of cars moved through the light cycle, and there was the sound again. Chick-chick, chick-chick. "Wait right here," I told the girls, as a steady stream of their dance mates skipped around them. The street grew empty, and I trotted over just under the traffic signal. There on the asphalt lay the flattened remains of a vegetable or fruit can, and oh my, what a beauty! My heart raced a little. Okay, the can was ordinary, but its conversion was exquisite. Time, rain, road salts, and the constant pounding of vehicular pressure had transformed something ubiquitous and worthless into a delicate and nuanced study in oxidation, patination, and asymmetrical composition. What a find! Carefully, but quickly, I lifted my treasure with all the concentration and dexterity of a Smithsonian conservator. "What's that?" cried the girls, as I regained the sidewalk and let them revel in the deep mahogany of burnished rust and feathered edge. "A can," I said. "You don't get that overnight," intoning one of my father's favorite phrases. The girls were not impressed. The can lounged in my studio for a year or so, sharing the ambience with 800,000 or so bits of other stuff, tools and raw materials. Several times a week I would glimpse its visage, allowing my subconscious adequate percolation time to learn the can's language, so that when it spoke I would understand. I already spoke fluent Rust, so can, being a compatible language, seemed like a logical addition, but I didn't want to rush it. As a sculptor, I've learned to work both forward and in reverse. The decades of trial and error have prepared me to embrace both planning and risk-taking. Planning gives direction, a longitudinal heading that minimizes aimless floundering. Risk-taking brings serendipity, embracing change and adaptation to keep things fresh and lively, the anticipation of surprise. I'm as much about the journey as the destination, the question as much or more than the answer. We've all had the experience of the proverbial light switching on as some darkened crevice of our mind receives illumination. But sometimes the light comes slowly, like the rising sun, with imperceptible layers of brightening. As the can began to spill the beans, secretly I hope it had contained tomatoes, my favorite, months melted into years. These things take time. A dialogue of form, the articulation of stuff and space, a shard of leather here, appendages carved from maple there. Months went by. A trip to the Hillsville flea market yielded two antique typeface trays. More months passed, and I hand-forged a copper fish skeleton. It all went into the soup. Starting is easy. The merest whim can signal a beginning. Knowing when to stop is far more difficult and often more important. You can work the life out of a piece by not leaving well enough alone. A 4-year gestation seemed about right for a can, and eventually Whippersnapper Blues was ready to interact with viewers. My part was done. It was time to let the co-creators make their own closure.